Good morning. It is great to see everyone this morning, and I will I'll be real honest with you. I have not been. Am I on? Is this me? No. That's not for a lack of me being.
Hello.
Oh, there we go. All right. I have not been as excited about a sermon like I am this morning since at least last week. So. I'm going to try not to to preach until somebody falls out a window, but I can't make you any promises. Only God can. And if you've got your Bibles open to Romans 8, 31, we're going to be there. The life that God wants us to live is a good life. No, it's a great life. The life we can come up with on our own is a pretty good life. We can be comfortable, and we can, I like the analogy that Wes used, piling up rocks, more rocks than somebody else, and, you know, this, my pile's over here. We can come up with a pretty sizable pile of rocks and be content that we've got enough to take care of this or that or build whatever. I like that analogy. I didn't especially like the analogy that my wisdom is tiny wisdom, but whatever, you know, we'll, but he's true. It is. It's very tiny. Any wisdom coming from me is going to be tiny, tiny wisdom. But the life God wants for us, it's a great life. It's an amazing life. And this closer walk that we've been talking about this whole year. And if you've noticed, every sermon that we've had, every teaching that I've tried to do is about this idea of this new journey and taking your next step and living closer to God. And this closer walk with God brings with it, not last week we talked about this great purpose. Today we're going to talk about this great confidence. I mean, we have got to be the most confident people that have ever walked or will walk the face of this earth because of the God we serve and the relationship that is available to each one of us. So this morning we're going to talk about this great confidence in Romans 8, 31 through 34. We know that as we live this life, people live a kind of a conquered life. A lot of people live a very conquered life. You know, one of the things this, as you know, my, you know, there's only a couple of us Hineses here today. There's normally eight, and now there's only three. But Vic took the little girls and two of the big ones to Missouri for the fair in Cuba, Missouri, which is a nowhereville fair, but. They have great entertainment there and da da da, whatever. Point is, she calls me, spur of the moment, we're all going to go. And I said, great, take the van. The reason I said, great, take the van was because the van was broke down all last week. I drive, you know, an older van with 100 billion miles on it, and it had a hole in the radiator. If you know anything, you don't have to be an ASE certified mechanic to know that's bad. Okay, that's not going to go very far. Now, my brother Lance. Come through. I mean, when you think of Lance Baxter, you got to think clutch. He's there for me. Hey, he's got a car. He's got a truck that's just sitting around because his, you know, Chance isn't driving anymore. He says, you can borrow my truck until you get your van fixed. No problem. I call rockauto.com. They ship me a radiator for my van. Great. Friday morning, I can't sleep, get up, I'm going to fix the van. The radiator came on Thursday, I'm going to fix the van. So I get, you know, I've never fixed a radiator before, but it can't be that hard. Lance told me it's not that hard. And he also told me that he would check on me and help me, which he didn't, but we're not going to, you know. So he's got a job, I know. So I get out there and I drain it all, and I, you know, it's literally a couple of bolts here, a couple of bolts there. Take this off, take that off. Next thing you know, the radiator falls on the ground. Get it out of the way, put the new one in, bolt it all in, boom, fill it up. Go to the auto store, fill it all up, half and half, get it going, run it. It's perfect, running like a dream. We drive, Hyatt and I drive it up here. There's a big pile of antifreeze underneath the van. I mean, just drenching the sidewalk. Hyatt's like, oh my, I'm like, do not tell your mother. Now, what had happened is I didn't put the radiator cap on real tight, so that was all there was. So I called Vic and I said, hey, you could take the van to Missouri. Be great. And she's like, we were just going to take my car. Her car seats five people. There's going to be five of them go. So the van will be a lot more comfortable. You'll enjoy the van. You know, it'll be great. She's like, okay, we'll take it. So, you don't want to take the van? I fixed it this morning. It's great. Then she said, but you're not a mechanic and I think it needs to stay around town just a little bit longer. That's what I was calling you about Friday. I needed to talk. I needed to vent. I needed to lean on my brother and tell him, dude, can you believe what my wife just said to me? And they said, oh, we'll take it. No, you're not taking it now. I don't know. So they took the van. And so when I called her every 10 minutes, hey, how's the van doing? How's it cool? Is it AC running cool? Yeah, all right, that's good. She didn't have a lot of confidence in me. Or my mechanic. And you know what? I don't blame her. I'm not a mechanic. And there's just as good a chance of that thing blowing up and overheating and the hood coming flying. I mean, there's just as much chance of that as there is of it working. I mean, I don't blame her. But we've got to live this life, this relationship with God, with more confidence, don't we? I mean, we've got to have at least a little more confidence in God than we have in, let's say, each other and our abilities, because we serve a God, as Wes said, who put the stars in the sky. And that should give us so much confidence. And as we've been studying this whole passage of Romans 8, and I love Romans 8, it is becoming my favorite chapter. Every major great theme of Scripture is found in this. I mean, everything from our purpose to this no condemnation status to this adopted as sons and daughters status, this eternally secure status, it's all talked about in here. And we should have, and you know, Paul gets to this place where he's almost out of words, but words have to be used. So he comes up with some. And man, does he come up with some words. And as we've said, that many people just settle for a conquered life. They just try to survive. There seems to be those who thrive, don't they? I mean, you know those kind of people that no matter what, they seem to thrive. Now, they're not all grin and no groan. Don't get me wrong. You know, it's like whenever I'm in Texas for the sermon seminar, you hear about these guys that in Texas, I mean, you can be sitting next to a billionaire and not really know it. And then there's this one thing where, and Charlie, you'll understand this, who said, that guy, he's all hat and no cattle. You know, that means he's big hat, but he doesn't really, you know, he looks the part, but he's not really. Now, I've come up with, you know, there are people, these Christians that are all grin and no groan. I mean, they're not experiencing the life, because the life in Christ is, we're going to groan. He talks about it. We're going to have groanings. I mean, we're going to groan. If we're experiencing the crucified life, guys, there's groaning involved. But we're not conquered. And we know those people that even though they're groaning, they just seem to thrive, don't they? And I want to be that kind of person and have that kind of faith and lean on that kind of God that no matter what, even though I groan, I'm not just settling for a conquered or surviving life. I'm thriving. I mean, those people, they have struggles too. But they have a conquering confidence. He says, what shall we say then? He says, I'm almost out of words, guys, but I'm gonna write some more anyway. What shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also among with him graciously give us all things? Paul says, what are we going to say in response to this greatness? And these are the words that have to be at the core of every Christian experience. I mean, it's literally a game changer. You know, I was sitting back there worshiping, and Jake Crabtree leaned, he was looking at the bulletin, and he said, hey, I see you got the sports theme going today. And I was like, you're right. But we've all been in that situation where, you know, life's going a certain way, or we're in a athletic contest and the game's going a certain way, and then something happens. I mean, maybe it's a three-pointer at the right time. Maybe it's a fake play and a touchdown when it seemed like all hope was lost. Or maybe it was a two-out double, and then somebody singles in a run, and just, you know, we're down, and the spirits are lifted, and the game just turns on a dime. We've all seen that, haven't we? Whether we've experienced it or whether we've seen it on TV or just heard about it, there's these things that come along that just change everything. These are some of those words that are game changers. If we believe, it'll rock your world. You know what it is? Paul says, here's the game changer, folks. God is for us. That's it. If we will live that, believe that, internalize that, meditate on that, pray on that, sing about that, if we'll just believe that God is for us, it will rock your world. It will change everything, every circumstance you have in life. If you believe, if you live, hey, this is happening. I lost my job. My marriage is here. My kids did that. The economy's this. I lost it. But God is for me. It will change everything. What does he say? He says, look, God is, not might be, not could be. God is. Not when you deserve it. Not sometimes. He says, God is. And he says, God is for. He's not neutral. He's not give or take. You know, it's I don't like to use the word hate, but I hate this. I hate this one thing. And I mean, guys, back me up on this. At some point today, maybe your wife, maybe your kids, maybe somebody's going to come and say, hey, we're going to lunch, right? And you say, sure. Where do you want to go? Well, I don't care. No, we're not going to lunch now. You know, where do you want to eat? I don't care. Where do you want to eat? Well, I know I want to eat. Well, I do too. Where do you want to go? Well, I don't care. You pick. No, you pick. That's not how God is. God's not neutral when it comes to you. God's not saying, hey, you know, maybe Lance will be with me forever in heaven. Maybe he won't. Hey, you know, maybe Hunter will be there. Maybe I'll save him. Maybe I won't. You know, maybe I love Robert. Maybe I don't. No, God is for. He's not neutral. He's not, you know, wishy-washy. He is for. There's no doubt about it. He is for some of us. The really, really good ones. Those who study enough. Those who pray all the time. Those who look a certain way. Who sing a certain tempo or volume or like a certain this or do a certain that. No, God is for us all, not just some of us, not just the really, really good ones, not just the pretty people. He's for us all. You want to talk about a game changer? You want to talk about something that'll take life, this broken life, this mired in the brokenness of of sin, this life that just seems like that there's no hope whatsoever, that things will never get better, that things will never change, that there will always be, you know, no matter who's elected to office, there's going to be somebody who can't stand them and their policies are terrible and the country's going this way and that way and it's just never, and all that. That will, God is for us. That changes it all. Changes it all. A lot of people don't believe this because they've been kicked around. They've been the victims of abuse or oppression or bad preaching, bad teaching, scared religion. And they don't believe that, but it's the truth. And it's not that opposition is going to be absent, but it will be impotent. You see, they were a nation of slaves. The Jews had nothing going for them. But see, God wasn't for Egypt. He was for Israel. They faced warring people that knew how to fight. But God wasn't for the Philistines. God was for the Hebrews. See, God wasn't for Pharaoh. He was for Moses. God wasn't for Goliath. He was for David. And God isn't for everything that's against you. He is for you and your life and your purpose that He has specifically ordained for you. I have a picture. Go ahead and put this picture up there. I don't know if you can see it. This is before HD. 1969 Super Bowl. AFC, NFC, this is a picture of Joe Namath. Very iconic image. This is after a game, a little football game. We call it now the Super Bowl. Back when this picture was taken, the AFC was just, they were terrible. The NFC was the dominant, the NFC always won the Super Bowl. Well, Joe Namath was the quarterback for the AFC champion Jets, and he not only thought that his team could win the Super Bowl, he guaranteed it. He said, I guarantee we're going to win. And guess what? The little bitty underdog don't have a chance to be on this field. AFC champion Jets went out and they beat the NFC champions. And Joe Namath runs off the field. And this is prior to them saying, I'm going to Disney World. One gesture, puts his hand up. I'm number one. We're number one. That's all he does. You know what I see when I see this picture? I told you. Like Joe Namath or don't. I'm not endorsing anything other than this right here. He had confidence and he said, I told you we were going to win. Don't you want to live like that? And he got beat up in that game. He got, and threw interceptions and had fumbles and it was, and the issue was in doubt back and forth. But at the end of the day, he can say, I told you we were going to win. See, God has guaranteed that we're going to win. And you say, well, I know we're going to heaven. Right, I get that, but it's not just about heaven. God doesn't just guarantee that we'll be saved and go to heaven and just leave us here to flounder. He says, I guarantee the heaven part, but I guarantee that right now you will win. There is no circumstance, no anything that can separate you from me. And in all things, you're more than conquerors, more than winners. And not only does He gives us this game changer, but He gives us the greatest home field advantage in the history of anything. Now, there's something to be said about home field advantage. You're there at home, sleeping in your own bed, getting to do your own thing, and there are those who are on your side at home that just aren't on your side away from home. And this amazing home field advantage that God gives us is the fact that God gave up Jesus for us. See, history will tell you, oh, the Jews, they killed Jesus. Oh, the Romans, they did. No, God gave Jesus for us. The greatest home field advantage, the greatest advantage ever given to anyone who is up against an obstacle is that God gave us someone on our team that was more powerful than anything that existed since, before, now, or ever. See, He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us. I'm going to read that again because I think that should elicit raucous cheers. He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. That takes about 4 seconds to read, but it would take an eternity to fathom. You see, I'm not really interested in a lot of trivial things that go along with organized religions.
or organized religion. I'm not really interested in the worship wars about this song is better than this, or how do you do that, or this arrangement, or I have no interest in pursuing trivial things. But when it comes to those, but you know what I like? You know what songs I like? You know, some people, oh, I like the old songs. Well, I like the new songs. Well, I like to sing this. I like good songs. I like good songs. Songs that have theology in them. You know, here's an old song. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do. You know, that's not really going to do anything for me. That's an oldie. But I like songs that have theology. Like, when I think that God, His Son not sparing, that Jesus freely bled and died for me. Now that's a song I can sing. That's a song that speaks. I mean, just because there's an old song or a new song, but when you think, every once in a while somebody will sit down at a piano or with their guitar or whatever, however they come up with the tunes of songs, or maybe just hum it along in their head, and they'll come up with a song and we'll sing them for generations because they're true. See, God will do anything for us. Now, that doesn't mean He's going to give us a new Cadillac just because we want one. But anything you need in order to be a conqueror, anything you need to conquer Satan in his fight against you, what's God going to keep from you in order for you to be a conqueror? If God was going to scrimp on us now, don't you think He would have scrimped on us when it came to His Son? And why are so many of us trying to convince God that we are worthy of something for Him to give us when before we were ever conceived, His Son not sparing? So we have to meet that spirit of condemnation right here. That spirit of condemnation that creeps in, when we have to meet it right here, that God, His Son not sparing, He gave Him freely for us. And so, you know, we're not declared righteous because of the good things that we might do. And we will not be declared unrighteous because of things that we do. See, God has made a ruling, and there is no higher court. God has ruled on your behalf. He has said, you are mine. I have done everything necessary and possible to secure a relationship with you. That is the ruling, and there is no court of appeals to go to. So why aren't we more confident? See, sin cannot change your relationship to God. So stop letting it change your confidence in your relationship with God. And yes, I stumble. And we will stumble along the way. But don't worry. Because God's got your back. And He took all of the condemnation and put it on Jesus' back. And so number two in this home field advantage, not only is God giving Jesus for us, but Jesus speaks up for us. There's something about that home crowd cheering. That home crowd cheering for us. Isn't that what the Bible says? See, Jesus didn't go to heaven to retire after a strenuous ministry. Jesus didn't just get done with everything here and say, whoo, man, I'm glad that's over. I can't wait to kick back and just chill and be up in heaven and take it easy. Hebrews 9 and 24 tells us exactly what we see here is that it is Jesus Christ who died, more than that, who is raised to life at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. You see, the only way for us to experience, the only way for us to experience the God against us-ness is to reject the one that He gave to express His for us-ness. See, I think a lot of times we force ourselves to experience, God's against me. God's against me. This is happening because God's against me. God, I've done, you know, God. The only way to experience God's againstness is to reject Jesus, who he sent to prove and express his for us-ness. And I want people to know that I am for a God who is for me. I heard a story about a very successful multimillionaire business guy who was being interviewed by a reporter, and he asked him, how did you get to all of this? How did you amass? How did you succeed? What, you know, tell me the story of how you came, because you came from nothing. Oh, yeah, came from nothing. And you built this vast empire. Absolutely. Now you're worth millions. Let me tell you. My wife and I, we got married. We moved into this little bitty apartment. We had nothing. I had no job. We just had a little bit of a couple of cans of beans in the cupboard and a nickel. I went down to this produce stand and I bought an apple for a nickel. I took that apple and I shined it up and I polished it and I made it look good and I just shined it and made it look beautiful. And I took that apple on the street and I sold it for a dime. And I took that dime and I went and I bought two more apples for a nickel. And I took both of those apples and I took them home and I shined them up and I polished them and I made them just look beautiful. And I took them out into the street and I sold them both for a dime. So now I've got 20 cents. So I turned a nickel into 20 cents. And then my father-in-law died and left me $22 million. See, we can't pile up enough shiny apples. But we have friends in high places. I mean, we have friends in high places. God, who says all of heaven is available for you to be a conqueror. And Jesus is right next to him, cheering us on, interceding for us, giving giving his defense for us to God himself. We are connected. You know, there are people that can get stuff done, you know, with a phone call. You know, it's just, you know powerful people, and they know powerful people. I've seen it happen where, you know, city government doing this or that, and you're trying to get this done and this project started, and you're just running up against roadblock after roadblock. You can't do that. And you know the right person, and they say, I'll take care of that. They make a phone call. Next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. People can get stuff done. Guys, we're connected. We're connected. I mean, our connections go to the very top. I mean, we're not stuck with mid-level management here. We are connected to the top. So no circumstances should be able to erode our confidence. See, God doesn't make empty promises. Jesus doesn't change his mind. And the Holy Spirit is not fickle. All of heaven is for us and on our side. When life comes against us, we will not let our circumstances diminish our confidence. See, when the devil tries to tell you that this isn't going to work, it's not going to work out, you can't do that, you're not good enough, you're not, you know, God doesn't love you, God doesn't think highly of that, God, you tell him no. See, I'm confident. I can do anything. See, God didn't say no to the cross, and Jesus did not say no to death, so we can say no to any attack on our confidence. There's nothing in this universe that we have to fear. I will be a victor, not a victim. Anybody heard of a horse called Mind That Bird? What's Mind That Bird? What did that? Well, anybody know what that horse did this year? He win the Kentucky Derby, something like, or the one of those. Maybe it was last year. I don't know. Mind that bird is a horse. Look at it. I don't care remember what you, but won the Kentucky Derby. 50-1 odds. Nobody made any money on this horse because nobody bet on it. When the race started, Mind That Bird was so far, and it might have been the Preakness or the whatever, but it is one of them races. Don't get caught up in the trivia. It's a true story. When the race started, Mind That Bird was so far behind that it was in the frame, it wasn't even, you know, when they were showing the field, it wasn't even in there. Nobody was talking about it. The commentators weren't saying, oh, yeah, but here's Mind That Bird. No, no. I mean, when they showed the field, it wasn't even in it. So far behind. But then that horse started making a move, and it got on the inside, and that horse started running. And that horse started passing. And that horse ended up winning that race by, I think, 7 lengths. If somebody's got a smartphone and wants to look it up, you can just shout out what race it was in, because I got people that, oh, he's making this up. No, I'm not. I'm not. But Mind That Bird. No, and the owners didn't even know. The owners never even saw it coming. And they said, we didn't know he had that in him. And nobody understood what happened until they interviewed the jockey. They said, what was it about that horse? About this race? He said, I rode that horse like he was a good horse. I rode him like he could win. See, God believes in us, and he's given us everything that we need to win. Now, it's not going to be comfortable all the time, because God's more concerned with our character than our comfort. But God, his son, not sparing. See, the church I grew up in was they knew everything about a lot of trivial things. I mean, they were sure about a lot of trivia. But you ask, are you going to heaven? And nobody was sure of that. The most important thing about the relationship with God, are you saved? Nobody was really sure. But we were sure about a lot of other stuff that, to be honest, really doesn't matter at all. But they weren't sure about that. See, we're not slaves. We're sons and daughters. We don't serve a God who'll blow his top at any moment. We serve a God who's slow to anger, abounding in love, rich in mercy. And church, he is for us. And so in keeping with the sports theme, I had a little trash talking. What you going to say about that? Now, Tommy or Janice were here, they'd have hives over that, because that's poor English. But when you're on the ball field or the court or wherever and you're talking trash, you don't have time for good grammar. What you going to say about that? God's for me. I'm more than a conqueror. God's guaranteed I'm going to win. What you going to say about that? The only thing we can say is how great thou art. How great is this God that we serve? Hung the stars, built this planet, ordains every heartbeat and every breath, has walked alongside every step I'm ever going to take, has been tempted as I have been tempted and ever will, and has been tortured and died to prove his purity so that I can be with him forever. Take that, Satan, and anybody else who's going to say anything against me, because I am under no condemnation, and I serve a God that has given me everything to be more than a conqueror. And the only thing left to do is to stand and sing a song that Dan knew we were going to sing just this morning. So would you please stand with me and let's worship together.